This is Dr. Laura Calkins of the Vietnam Archive at Texas Tech University. I'm beginning an oral history interview with Michelle Steiner of the U.S. Army. Today's date is the 9th of March, 2004. I am in the interview room in the Special Collections building on the campus of Texas Tech, and Michelle is speaking to me by phone. Good afternoon, Michelle.
Good afternoon.
I wonder if you could give me just a little bit of background information, biographical data. For example, where were you born and when?
I was born December 1st, 1942, in the Bronx, New York.
Okay. Tell me a little bit about your family.
Okay. We were in, I'd say, what is now termed lower middle class.
Mm-hmm.
My dad, before World War II and after he got out of World War II, was a truck driver and then a dispatcher in the garment industry in New York City,
mm-hmm.
and then became a slipcover cutter. We lived in the Bronx in a predominantly Jewish neighborhood. I'd say 85 to 90% of the population was Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
There was an Orthodox synagogue right across the street from our family, from our apartment house.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the people in the neighborhood, though, were Reform, even though the only synagogue serving us was Orthodox. I have one younger sister, 3 years younger.
Mm-hmm.
My mother was born November 1917, my dad in February 1918.
Were they both born in this country?
Both born in this country.
Mm-hmm.
All four of my grandparents are immigrants.
Where from, Michelle?
My maternal grandparents were from Hungary. No, excuse me. My paternal grandparents were from Hungary and Austria. My
mm-hmm.
grandmother from Hungary, my grandfather from Austria. No, reverse that.
Okay, okay.
My grandmother from Austria, my grandfather from Hungary.
Mm-hmm.
My maternal grandparents were from Poland and Russia, but I don't know which was from which.
Do you know what lines of work either of your grandparents were in?
My paternal grandfather owned some restaurants, Hungarian restaurants in New York City,
mm-hmm.
but was wiped out during the Depression, and became a waiter and worked as a waiter in a Hungarian restaurant. Well, more than one, but only one at a time.
Sure.
Until the late 1950s when he retired. My maternal grandmother was a housewife all her life, as far as I know.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what my paternal grandfather did. He died before I was born.
Do you know what the circumstances were that led them to come to the United States on either side?
Well, in my mother's side, it was part of the great Eastern European Jewish immigration of the early 1900s.
Mm-hmm.
And my grandfather, on my father's side, I think it was primarily to avoid being drafted by the Kaiser.
Okay, yeah.
And my grandmother, I don't know. They met and married in the United States, although my grandmother once mentioned to me that they had known each other in the old country.
Really?
But they did not, they had at least met each other there, but they did not immigrate together. They just re-met here.
What a night. That's a great story.
Uh-huh.
What about your own childhood? Where did you go to school?
I went to school in the public school system in New York City.
Okay.
Went to PS 104 in the Bronx, and then McCombs Junior High School, and then DeWitt Clinton High School.
When did you graduate from high school?
Graduated high school in 1960.
Okay.
Most people my age are born in about the same time of the same year, graduated in 61, but New York City had some very loose age requirements, and I was able to start school a year earlier than most of my contemporaries who did not live in New York.
Were you a good student?
I'm sorry?
Were you a good student?
Was I what?
A good student.
No.
Okay.
I got A's in the subjects I liked,
mm-hmm.
and C's or worse in the subjects that I didn't like or didn't care about.
Uh-huh.
I was what is now considered hyperactive and dyslexic, although those terms hadn't been invented yet and
mm-hmm.
the conditions had not been diagnosed at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But I did graduate in the upper half of my class, but not the upper quarter.
Okay. What subjects did capture your attention and did you perform well in?
Back in those days, they were the math and the hard sciences, math and physics primarily.
Did you have good teachers, or was it just an instinctual interest on your part?
Both.
Really? Do you remember any teachers particularly?
Yes, I remember, well, in the fifth grade, there was a Mrs. Hoffman,
uh-huh.
who I had the nickname of the dreamer, or the clouder, because I was always up in the clouds, so to speak. And uh-huh. she had a policy, every year her class would have a class newspaper that would come out every 2, 3, or 4 months.
Sure.
And she got me to write an article or column, The Adventures of Michelle the Clouder. And basically it was, let my imagination go wild, and using the term the clouder as a starting point, I guess you could call the stories almost science fictional.
Mm-hmm.
And so that I remember her, she's about the only elementary school teacher I remember. In junior high school, there was an art teacher named Mr. Gans. I was lousy at art, you know. Colors within the lines, forget it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at an earlier age. By then, I could.
Sure.
But I was a lousy art teacher, and really the only reason I remember him is because he had been my mother's and my uncle's art teacher when they were in high school, to give you an idea of how long he had been teaching.
Absolutely.
And he actually remembered my mother and her brother, her younger brother, because they were very good at art.
And was there disappointment there, do you think, or was he encouraging?
I think there was disappointment on his part,
mm-hmm.
definitely,
mm-hmm.
once he found that out. Since, you know, it was when I mentioned to my mother my teacher's name, she said, "Is he redheaded?" I said, "No, he's bald." And she said, "Well, that's, you know, no way to tell." And
sure.
He described him as a younger age, and, you know, adjusting for the age and the lack of hair, it sounded like the same person. So I asked him, "Do you remember Dottie and Jackie Buckalter when you were teaching at Morris High School?" And he said, "Yes." I said, "Well, she's my mother, and he's my uncle." So that, you know, so it didn't really affect anything in the class,
mm-hmm.
but... you know, it caused me to remember him.
But it gives a sense of the stability of the area, though, too.
I remember the names of some other teachers, but
mm-hmm.
no.
But nothing particularly attached to them.
Mrs. Lebetsky was my homeroom teacher in eighth grade. Mrs. Stark was my homeroom teacher in the seventh grade. Her son went to the same school, even though he wasn't in the district,
mm-hmm.
but that way she could drive him to school, I
sure,
guess.
Sure, sure.
She was a heavyset woman, and she always signed her everything BZ Stark, and someone in the class asked her what her name was,
mm-hmm.
and she said the B is Bertha, and of course someone said Big Bertha, and she said, "Well, I've never been a Slim Jim." I had a Mr. White who was a math teacher, taught algebra,
mm-hmm.
and he recognized, you know, that I was doing well and encouraged me. In high school, there was a Miss Mercurio,
mm-hmm.
who was actually a substitute teacher but on a full-time contract. I had her for math in the ninth grade, and she encouraged me also, and she became the faculty advisor for the math club, which I was a member of.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I found out at one of my high school reunions from another teacher who had been there at the time and who has since retired, I asked him about her, where she went, and he said, oh, she got out of teaching math and started working with the deaf. But he had lost contact with her over a decade earlier.
Huh.
His name was Mr. Irving Packer.
Mm-hmm.
Ms. Mercurio's first name was Anna. And then there was Doc Lavaty, Lavaty, who was the head of our math department. He had previously been a math teacher, maybe the head of the math department, at Bronx High School of Science, and lost his job and became virtually unhirable because of Joe McCarthy.
Do you know what exactly the issue at
he came,
the time?
He came from Czechoslovakia and had relatives there.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But by the late 50s, because about 55 or 56, I guess that's the mid-50s, I think it was 56, he was again hireable and became the head of our math department. And he stayed there until he retired. And Mr. Walter, his first name was Julius Lavaty.
Okay. Was he Jewish by any chance?
Julius,
yes.
As in Orange Julius.
Yes, okay, uh-huh.
And there was our principal was Walter Degnan, D-E-G-N-A-N, who was principal of that high school from sometime in the 1940s until the late 60s or early 70s.
Wow.
I think he became principal in 48.
Wow.
And he was very well respected and admired by everyone in the school. And there was Doc Guernsey, like as in Guernsey Cow.
Mm-hmm.
He must have had polio or something when he was a kid because he walked with two crutches or arm brace crutches. And he was a type of person that even the worst disciplinary kids in the school looked up to, respected, admired, and would do anything he said. And there wasn't a student or faculty member in the school who didn't like him.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Was he charismatic in some way?
I don't know. I never really had much contact with him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I ever spoke to him face-to-face.
Mm-hmm.
I dealt somewhat with his wife, who also worked in the school. She was an administrator.
Mm-hmm.
And I was on an office squad in the assistant principal's office. And she was the secretary or something. I forget exactly. Her first name was Jessie, J-E-S-S-E. But I never really did anything with Doc. I don't even know what he taught or what position he had.
Huh. But he was sort of a fixture there.
Yeah, he was a definite fixture.
Uh-huh. Now, Michelle, you said you were on an office squad. What does that mean?
Basically, a group of students who helped out during their free periods in the office.
Was it a position of some responsibility, like I don't know, hall monitors used to be, that kind of thing?
Well, sort of, but we did mostly the clerical work, filing for them,
and
running the mimeograph machines and stuff like that.
Was that fun for you?
Yeah, actually.
Okay. How did you come by that job, that work?
This is embarrassing.
Oh, well.
I had cut school for about a month.
Okay, uh-huh.
And when the truant officer finally came to the house, and he happened to live in our apartment building,
oh, boy.
So my folks knew him.
Uh-huh.
Of course, my next day, my father dragged me into the school, and one of the people we had to speak to was Mr. Zingaro, who was the assistant principal, and basically he said, okay, you're going to be on my office squad so I can keep an eye on you, and I'll know any days you cut school because you won't be here. And anyway, that was in my sophomore year, and I stayed on his squad until I graduated.
But it turned out to be punishment that was, monitoring anyway, that was fun.
It was it started out as monitoring, but you know, I became one of the most favored or senior members of the squad.
It sounds pretty cool.
Whatever word you want to use.
Sounds cool.
It was.
you mentioned in the math club.
Right.
Were there other kind of extracurricular things that you did?
Nope.
That was it?
That was it.
Okay. So no sports or any of that?
Oh, no.
Okay. Were you, as you entered, say, your senior year in high school, were you thinking that you would be going to college, or were you thinking that you wanted to get out and work?
Oh, I was, it was known from the time I was in the third grade that I was going to college.
Okay. I suspected that might be true.
And there was no doubt in anyone's mind that I was going to be going to college.
Okay. Where was it thought that you might go to college?
I'm sorry?
Where might you have gone?
What colleges?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, we didn't even think about that until I got into my junior year.
Okay.
Senior year.
Uh-huh. Did you think about leaving New York City?
Yes. One of the schools I planned to apply to was Brandeis.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Although I never did apply there. But in my yearbook, it says that I was going to Brandeis. The schools I actually did apply to were City College of New York and New York University.
Mm-hmm.
But we moved out of New York City in my senior year. And I, on paper at least, moved in with my grandmother so I could finish my senior year at the same high school.
Sure.
But I wound up going to New York University.
Okay. Where did your parents move to?
We moved to New Rochelle.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Which is a suburb of New York City.
Right. And did they get their own house out there?
No, we just moved from one apartment house to another.
Okay. What was the motivation behind moving out of the city?
Basically influence from my mother's sister and her husband. My dad worked for my Uncle Jerry,
mm-hmm.
and Jerry and Sheila lived in New Rochelle, and you know, New York, the Bronx was just starting to decay then.
Okay, sure.
And so even though the decay really didn't hit for over a decade later, you mm-hmm. could see just, in retrospect, I could see that it was, had been starting.
Mm-hmm.
So my family decided to move, get a bigger place, lower rent, live within just about walking distance, my mother and her sister.
Sure, yeah.
My dad was a salesperson, so he wasn't, by that time, so he wasn't in an office by himself. He didn't have to go anywhere. But even when he was a slipcover cutter, it was just go into the shop, pick up the stuff for the day, and then he's on the road in the city all day.
Mm-hmm.
And as a salesperson, he was even at farther flung. Most of his clients were in New Jersey.
Yeah, even more mobile then.
Yeah.
Yeah, and out of the city.
And out of the city. So, whether we lived in the Bronx or the New Rochelle didn't matter that much. And also my mother, I forget if she got this job before or after we moved to New Rochelle, but the company she worked for was in the Bronx,
mm-hmm.
and she left the company. I forget when she went back, but it had moved its headquarters to New Rochelle. As I said, I don't know whether it was before or after we moved that she started working in the New Rochelle office.
Mm-hmm. Did you, in fact, yourself move out to New Rochelle and just continue to kind of make it back to high school?
Right. I moved, the whole family moved to New Rochelle.
Sure. Uh-huh.
And I basically commuted. Either Dad or Uncle Jerry drove me into the Bronx, so most of the time I just took a bus.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Maybe one or two nights a week I'd stay at my grandmother's house. Especially if I got to playing with friends after school and mm-hmm. then
time kind of got away.
It was a little bit too late to go, you know, to travel.
Sure, sure. As you moved toward graduation that spring of 1960, and you were planning to go to college, did you think about getting a summer job?
Actually, I did.
Okay, what did you do?
I worked as a shipping clerk in a factory or warehouse that was a five-minute walk from my house for the same company that my mother and father worked for.
Great, that was pretty convenient then.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And were you saving up a little bit of that money to be going to NYU?
At a buck and a quarter an hour, it was hard to save anything up. That was minimum wage.
Yeah.
And I wound up spending most of it over the summer.
Okay. So I take it that you entered NYU then in the fall of 1960?
That's right.
And how did that term go? How'd that first term go?
I got A's in the subjects I liked and C's or worse in the subjects I didn't like.
So you're very consistent on that point then.
Yeah. And got to the point, I had the misfortune of learning how to play contract bridge while I was there.
Oh, boy. Uh-huh.
And I probably spent more time in the student union playing bridge than I did in classroom.
Mm-hmm. Were you good? Getting better?
Better than average, okay. But... Well, actually, at the time in college, I probably wasn't all that good because I was learning.
Mm-hmm, right.
But I eventually became quite good.
Okay.
Not expert, but quite good.
But pretty good. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you could teach me a few things then. I like the game, but I don't think I'm quite so good.
Well, except for playing online, which I started to do about a month ago.
Uh-huh.
I stopped playing in... about 78, and I picked it up again in 84 for a few months, and then haven't played since.
Was that something that you were you could find games of during the course of your military career? Could you find people to play with?
Yes. Usually, I wound up going to local American Contract Bridge League tournaments and getting pickup partners, and then meeting people there who had same bidding philosophies as me, and
right.
Now became regular or semi-regular partners.
That's interesting. So that was like a whole sort of side element to...
Yeah. And one of my best friends who I met early in my Army career, who I am still very close friends with, we met at a bridge table. And during my Army career, when I've been in for maybe about 10 years, he and I wound up living about a block from each other.
Really?
Yeah, he was out of the Army by then and working for the Red Cross, and I was in the Army and stationed in the D.C. area.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, well, basically when he found out I was coming to D.C., he searched around and found this apartment for us that was in the same apartment complex.
Great.
As his.
Well, that's nice. It's great to have, you know, friends who you can sort of see at different points in your life and...
Yeah.
Have them still be, you know, good for you and good friends. Michelle, were you thinking at all about entering military service while you were at NYU?
Yes, actually. I joined ROTC.
Uh-huh.
There was, you know, basically either took physical education or ROTC.
Mm-hmm.
And then... when I got my grades at the end of that semester, I realized I'm not going to be able to make it through college. So now the term is drop out. In those days, the term hadn't existed yet.
Mm-hmm.
But I withdrew from school and enlisted in the Army.
Was that kind of traumatic for you?
A bit. It was more traumatic for my parents, I think.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't, until they got a copy of my grades in the mail, they didn't realize I was doing so poorly.
And were they supportive, though, of your new plan to go into the military?
Outwardly, yes.
Okay.
They were I can't say they were not unsupportive once they realized that, you know, it was a done deal.
Mm-hmm. They kind of got behind it.
Yeah, they got behind it, and mm-hmm. you know, they tried to talk me out of it, but they realized my dad went and spoke to the recruiter,
mm-hmm.
and found out I'd already signed the papers.
Right.
Yeah, I was old enough that I didn't need parental permission.
Right, and this was this in the spring then of 1961?
About January.
Okay.
February.
Right.
I entered on the 9th of March.
So you were 19 years old at that point?
18.
18? Oh, okay, you just turned 18.
I just turned 18 about 3 months earlier.
All right. Yeah, so you were on your own, basically.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Do you remember going and speaking to the recruiter yourself?
Yes, I do.
Can you describe that interaction?
Okay, can you cut the tape a moment?
Sure.